All right, Walter Reed, Jazz B, welcome. This is Barb Catlin, and looking forward to hearing your set.
Charlie Harrison and Maurice Simone. And our clinicians are Don Murillo.
I'm going to give you some comments and things I'm hearing, always with the intention that we, you know, hopefully it will help you get better. That's what we want to do. We want to get better on our instruments.
I'm honored to have you here with us today. Thank you for attending the Canyon Jazz Festival. I'd like to take a moment, you to take a moment to silence your cell phones and any other electronic devices which might make noise during your performances. I'll remind you that tonight at 7:45, we have a special performance by California State University Northridge Jazz A Band under the direction of Scott Whitfield.
Stuart, thanks for hopping back there and doing that. That's nice. You have the ability and the figure that out. It's always important to have our bass in tune and all that, right? Good. All right. Wow, there's a lot of you guys and gals up there, but you're looking good this morning. All right, we found our trombone player. I am a piano player by trade, and I actually grew up playing in the saxophone section. I majored in saxophone for my undergraduate, but started playing more and more piano, and did all my graduate work on piano, and that's where I reside professionally now, is over on piano. So I'll be making comments for the whole band, just again with the intention that that hopefully you'll have some time for the rest of the year here to just tweak some stuff so we get better. Okay, this is a classic. Good old Eddie Harris. Okay, some comments in general. This is something you can take with you, horn players, forever. The most important part of the note in jazz band is the first part of the note. So what I'm hearing is a lot of And what we want is da, right? Da. We want some rhythmic beginnings to our note. Right there. So, do da, da, do, 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 da. So brass, especially trombones, especially, if you can please put a do syllable at the end and not just slurring through everything, would really help the time out front. Yeah, Amir, making the changes, good. Hey, on that break, I would actually let the piano player finish, then have Eddie start at the beginning of the phrase so that the break is part of the solo. That's usually how it's done on this tune. Yeah, nice solos, you guys. Very good, you guys and gals. I like it. I wonder how many times you've listened to this. Mr. Rosen, I have a couple of comments for you. One is that I'm not a fan of the music stands off to the side for the trumpets like that. It's a newer development. I don't know where it came from. But like trombones, I get it because you have the slide. But in high school and college, nobody does this. Well, nobody should do it. Nobody does it in college or professional land. But for some reason, high schools have been doing it more and more. It's teaching bad habits because in the real world, and as they get older, they're going to be asked to put that music stand in the front with the bells over the top. And Mr. Rosen, if you look at your trumpet section right now, the bells are equal height to the music stand. And it's blocking the sound from where I'm sitting over here. Okay? It's just a weird thing that's developed over the last few years. So, like maybe 5, 6, 7 years. Put the stand in front of the trumpets with the bell over the top. That's just how it's done in big boy and girl land. So they might as well learn it. But it's teaching bad habits because, first of all, they don't need the music that high at their eye level. But I can't even see the shorter folks in the band because their music stand is so high. And I'm sitting off to the left side, like on the piano side of the auditorium, and I'm losing the last three trumpet players because their bell is right in the stand. Like, you know, it's very directional. Invariably, as they're reading, their eyes will track into the music stand, and that brings their bell right into the stand. So I just don't know where this came from. Go Google and look at 50 pictures of college jazz band and professional jazz band. You will never see the trumpet stands like that. So I don't know what happened there, but conversely, the saxophone stands are too high. The bells are much lower. You don't need to have it that high. Parents pay a lot to see their kid's face on the bandstand. I think it's important to be able to see the players and not just have a big blockhead of music stand where the head is. So anyway, something to consider. And the second thing is I would love to start have a lot more focused listening. And I'll explain more on that in a minute. This is very nicely done, you guys and gals. Excellent. It's very musical. Good job, trumpets. This is good jazz articulation here, trombones. Nice job. I could use more lead alto out front. Maybe get that sound up over the top a little. There's a lot of saxophones, right? So you got to get the lead part out. Yeah, that end of the phrase needs to be worked on. We need to have a kind of a little cadence point there. Don't let that drop off into nothing. Hey, band, and Mr. Rosen. I feel like we've got all the important stuff covered. You've done a great job with getting the quality of sound on the instruments, and people are putting wind air through the horn, and everybody's taking care of biz, so congrats on that. Nice, Eddie. Excellent. Good job, young man. Hey, getting back to what I was saying. We have all the fundamentals covered, thankfully. What's missing is a goal, is a idea of what this music's supposed to sound like completely. There's a lot of stuff in jazz band that's not on the page. That's the fun part about it, right? So like especially in the rhythm section, soloist, lead players, etc. There's stuff that happens in the real world that we need to implement. As a professional jazz piano player, I read about 35% of what's on the page. The rest, I interpret the chart. That was nicely done. Thanks. The question then becomes, if it's not on the page, what do I play, right? Well, what you do is you listen to recordings and you get ideas from the recording. So the drummer, Drake, for example, there's all kinds of stuff that's typically done on that tune. And same with Amir and Brian and Daniel and piano. There's a lot of different things we can do to comp. And Wyatt and Ethan, that we can do to comp. And all of that is stuff that's not on the page. So here's what I highly recommend you do, Mr. Rosen, and I promise you, it will completely turn the band around as far as bringing it to the next level. Listen for 5 minutes. Find several recordings of Cold Duck Time. Start with the original by Eddie Harris. Listen for 5 minutes. Ask the band what they hear. Have them identify a concept. Then play for a few minutes. Then go back. Listen, then identify, then play. Have them duplicate what they're hearing. They're going to hear all kinds of stuff. And what's really cool about that, Mr. Rosen, is the information is being internally processed. In other words, you're not having to describe a sound or a technique. The students identify it, and they know what they need to do. So, for example, I would bet a lot of money that you've never listened to John Coltrane's version of this. Drake, there's stuff that happens on this tune that you would totally dig. We need to listen to it and steal ideas. Copy, emulate. Yeah, Sean, there's all kinds of fun stuff in the rhythm section that we can be copying here from the original recording. It's a famous, famous, famous recording. So I can't overemphasize this enough. I heard a good band a couple bands ago, West Ranch Studio 8, and I happen to know the lead alto player who played in my all-state band a few years ago. They sounded great, and I could tell that their rhythm section and all the soloists had been listening and duplicating. So basically, this is how we have learned jazz over the years. Hey, you guys and gals, nice solos, everyone. Because then you'll know what a lead trumpet is supposed to sound like here. We won't have to work on articulation so much, because you'll go, oh, I see, that's supposed to be slurred, or that's supposed to be short. You know what I mean? You will pick stuff up as the band. You guys are all smart boys and girls, guys and gals. Do your research. Jazz band should be no different than any other class that you take. You should be researching the music, because we're getting a nice full sound here. Very good. Zoo-va-doo-da-da. You'd hear that they swing that a lot more if you listen to a bunch of recordings of this. Saxophones, you'd also hear that that should be ba-dwee-doo-dat short instead of long. I know it's written long, but maybe you agree as a section to make it sound the way that Coltrane did it, right? Kind of cool. Then you become little arrangers. Okay, there's so many great things happening in this band. Good time, good sound. Especially for as young as you all are, that's awesome. So welcome to the club of being a jazz musician. My number one comment is, I want you to do more concentrated listening. And Mr. Rose and the bands who do this as a group and have their students listening a lot and copying, emulating, those are the best bands, period, the end. I ask every time I hear a really great band, how much listening do you do in class? A lot, sometimes 50%. Why? Well, because then the students understand intuitively what they need to do. They have an end game. They have an end concept, right? So it's a little bit like being a basketball player and never watching a basketball game. You're probably not going to be a very good basketball player if you've never watched a basketball game. You know, you need to emulate the greats. And if you guys do that, it would seriously take the band to the next level. It was really fun to hear you this morning. Keep up the great work. And it was fun. Fun set. Thank you.